Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the portions of Epicurus's works that we still possess at the present time, which is not an awful lot, we see him consistently making an important distinction between three different types of desires. And I've got them charted here on the board. The axes along which he's going to distinguish them have to do with whether these desires are natural, that is, whether they belong to the nature of a human being that is more or less well-functioning, that hasn't been corrupted in some way, and then whether they are necessary to us or whether they're not necessary to us. There are no desires that he thinks are necessary but not natural. So if you think of it as like a square with, you know, two different possibilities on each side, one of the squares would be empty. Instead, what we have are those that are natural and then also necessary. And he'll make some distinctions within that class in the letter to Menoceus. Then there are those that are natural but not actually necessary for us. And then there are those that are neither natural nor necessary. Now, when he's talking about desires, that's kind of a shorthand for desires for pleasure or desires for avoiding pain, and the object of that desire is, in general, going to be a pleasure. So we can talk about pleasures themselves as being natural pleasures but not being necessary pleasures, or being natural pleasures and also being necessary. But we can also speak of the desires, which is what he's doing, as being natural or necessary. So let's look at each one of these categories in turn. He talks about some desires, as being natural and necessary for us. So those would be the sorts of things that we have to pursue, or at least if we're well-functioning, we're not going to sacrifice other things to other desires to the detriment of these. And they lead to pain when unsatisfied, he says. Now, we have to be a little bit careful in trying to correlate the different fragments or, you know, the different maxims that we have of Epicurus, because sometimes he may be talking about, you know, the entirety of a class, sometimes he may be talking only about part of a class. He does make a distinction between different types of natural and necessary desires. He says that some of these are pertinent to our happiness, that is, our well-being in general. Happiness for Epicurus is not simply a transitory state that we're in once and then exit from. It's not something that's a complete bliss that blots everything out. Rather, it's a state of continuous pleasure or a state of absence of pain, which is itself a different type of pleasure, as we talk about in another core concept video. So what would be some of the things that are necessary for happiness? Well, understanding the nature of things and the human being's place in them, which is the knowledge that is, in Epicurus's view, afforded by philosophy. Or if we don't do philosophy, at least we cultivate the virtue of practical wisdom or prudence. That's something that we can desire, and when we do it, we're actually going to encounter a kind of pleasure. Some are needed in order for our body not to be troubled. So, for example, we do in general need clothing, and not just because there's some sort of social need to cover ourselves, although, you know, given that we do live in society for the most part and they're not totally separate from each other, perhaps you could say that that's even a natural and necessary desire. But if we want to keep ourselves from being cold, if we want to keep ourselves from being hurt by our environment, if we want to go in the rain and not get wet, then we need certain things for that. Likewise, we can say the same thing about many other types of desires that we have. And then he says others are necessary for life itself. So if you don't drink any fluids, and you don't get enough water, I suppose, from solids in some way, like eating a lot of fruit, well, you're going to die. Your body will not survive. It's not just a matter of your body not feeling well or something like that. If you don't get enough liquid, you will die. If you don't eat, you will eventually die. We need a certain quality of air or else we will eventually begin to die. Before that, our bodies will start to feel bad. I suppose you could actually say the desire not to have allergies would be, you know, a desire to have an untroubled body, right? So desires for allergy medicine could actually be natural and necessary desires for somebody like Epicurus, although they didn't have anything like that available at that time. Now, when we get to the natural but not necessary desires, there he says that we don't actually feel pain when we don't have them. So, for example, if I really need to get dressed because I'm going out in the cold, it doesn't matter so much whether I'm wearing this and this shirt, even though this is probably my favorite of all my jackets, or whether I wear, you know, something that's a bit more serviceable, less professorial, you might say. It doesn't really matter, and I shouldn't feel a sense of pain if I don't have this particular article of clothing. Desires for sexual pleasures, at least certain sexual pleasures, not those that are, you know, inordinate and as Epicurus would view it, you know, just crazy stuff. That would be an example of a natural desire, which is not necessary for us to feel okay, for us to not feel put upon bodily or, you know, for us to live. Now, of course, for the species to continue in existence, it is an interesting point. If the species is going to continue, you, then somebody actually has to have sex and presumably enjoy themselves in the process. As a matter of fact, Epicurus would say, if you're going to have sex, you should be enjoying yourself because pleasures are good, right? But, you know, he actually had a rather dim view about sexuality. He said, look, you know, most of the time it just gets us in trouble. It causes all sorts of pains as a result. Better to avoid it altogether. This is maybe something where a lot of us would disagree with Epicurus, myself included. But that is an example that he would use. Then we have this whole range of many of the desires that we actually do in fact have, particularly living in our late modern culture, which is just saturated with media and advertising and images. Epicurus would say that advertising by its very nature, because one of the main goals of advertising is to create desire where desire did not yet exist or to shape desire, is that advertising relies upon the arousal and the pushing of unnecessary and unnatural desires. So there are some desires that are neither natural, that is, they are not part of the integral human being in our very nature. Our nature is susceptible to them, but that doesn't mean that they're actually natural to us. You know, if we want to think in dietary terms, processed food, awfully tasty in many respects, sometimes not very good for us. I'd say a lot of it's not really natural in the sense that, it's natural in the sense that it comes ultimately from nature, right? From the universe. But it's not natural in the sense that it's been artificially modified and is not the sort of thing that our species is better off eating, right? Necessary. These desires are not necessary either. And, you know, we have to think in terms of this leading to no pain when unsatisfied. Is that really the case when we've built up habits of desiring things, when we have certain viewpoints on them that make us think that if we don't get this, we're going to be unhappy, particularly when we live in a realm where, like I just pointed out, because of the interpenetration of media and advertising and opinion formation, we are almost constantly bombarded with opinions that often exert great pressure upon us and make us think that we should desire things or that we do desire things that aren't particularly good for us and aren't necessary. Epicurus talks about these as based on groundless or empty, depending on how you want to translate it. The Greek term is kinos. Vain is another way to put it. Opinion. Doxa, a standpoint, a cognitive standpoint on things, which may also be reflected in affectivity, which is what desire is, right? So if I think, I've got this as an example here, I'm not wearing a tie right now, chose not to put it on precisely so I could use this tie, which is actually one of my favorites, as an example. Now, is wearing a tie natural to human beings? Not really. right? It certainly isn't necessary to human beings. You might say that within certain social circumstances, wearing a tie for men and a jacket could be de rigueur. You know, it could be the, as it's often been put, this is the uniform of the bourgeois, right? And there may be certain jobs where you have to wear it, and you could say, well, see, it is necessary for me to wear it. But in general, ties are not, right? And this tie, you know, why do I like this one so much? Well, I like the color. I like the fabric. I like the fact that it ties rather well, which some of my ties don't. I like the way that it hangs. I like how it complements, you know, the color scheme and other things. But in many respects, from an Epicurean perspective, that is the realm of groundless opinion. I don't need that tie. And if I lose that tie, or if I don't have any ties whatsoever, there's really no harm being done to me, except that I think that I'm being harmed because I have desires that are neither necessary nor natural. We could say the same thing about so many other things in our life, and perhaps some of the things that are natural but not necessary desires can ultimately fall into the class of no longer being natural once they pass certain limits. Here's some examples. Epicurus talks about desire for wealth. And why do we desire wealth? Well, there's different reasons. Some people desire wealth because they realize that you need it in order to buy things. That makes perfect sense. If we live in a market-based economy and you don't have the capacity to actually grow your own food and you have to go to the grocery store to buy food, well, then you need an income, right? You have to get money from somewhere. So that becomes a necessary desire. Now, having a ton of money, that's not really necessary. And Epicurus talks about the wealth of nature. He says if we can be satisfied with the wealth of nature, meaning the things that actually do satisfy these desires, then we're going to be okay. If we can remain within those bounds, we're going to be just fine. It's when we think that we need more and more and more wealth. Not everybody's desires for wealth are limited. Some people think they need much more money than they actually do, or they need a certain kind of income, or they need to be able to buy certain sorts of consumer goods. This is often why people think they need a given income. If I can't go on vacation twice a year, then I'm not really living. If I can't buy fine things, nice things as we call them, then I'm not really living. That's a life that's just fit for rum-dums. That's not for me. Well, Epicurus would say, look, if you have that point of view, you are actually going to be setting yourself up for less pleasure and more pain because those are groundless opinions. Here's another great example that particularly applies to our late modern culture, which has a very complex and strange attitude towards food. Desire for unlimited eating. Epicurus would call that a neither natural nor necessary desire. Desire for eating is, in fact, natural and necessary, because if you don't do it, you're going to die, right? And if you don't have enough of it, I suppose your body is going to get wasted and you're not going to feel very good. So, you know, the trouble of the body. But how much do we need to eat? Do we need to keep stuffing ourselves? There's, you know, the kind of eating that people do, and actually there's an entire industry that caters to this that has to do with mouth taste and mouth feel and all this sort of stuff. There's ruminative eating that people will do, just sitting on the couch, you know, eating a snack, watching TV, where all these things kind of go along together. And you can actually ask that person, is this really pleasurable for you? Or are you setting yourself up for all sorts of other pains? How much of that do you need to eat? Do you need to eat the whole bag of chips? I mean, you know, we have commercials that actually say you can't stop eating them. You can't eat just one. But then we also have these serving sizes when you look at the bag of the back of the bag of chips or any other thing. And the serving sizes are always these minuscule amounts so that we don't think we're eating quite so much. Epicurus would say, well, we actually need to look at that. It's based on some sort of opinion that the stomach or the body or the mouth or our, you know, our psyche or something like that needs that amount of food. I need that ice cream because it makes me feel better. I need to indulge myself in this or that. I need to go out to the restaurant and have this particular experience. Epicurus was a big believer in simple fare, in living in a rather frugal way. He said that if you're feeling pretty good, if you're satisfying these desires, if you're sticking to this sort of stuff, then relatively simple food without, you know, a huge menu behind it is quite pleasurable. And he's actually correct about that. There's a story about him being given a pot of cheese and saying, "Oh, what a fine delicacy this is." Imagine that and compare it to some of the things that our food industry throws at us. So there's a whole realm of desires that are based on groundless opinion. And Epicurus is not saying that just because they're based on groundless opinion, we should avoid them. He's saying that because they're based on groundless opinion, they are likely to not really satisfy us. Some of them may not be satisfiable at all. You know, those that have to do with dominating others or with keeping up with the Joneses or these sorts of things, you probably can't satisfy them. And you look at certain pathological conditions, people who have entire closets full of shoes and are still unhappy, people who can't get enough knives or guns you might actually say that with academics and books that they don't read. That would be one that might hit home for somebody like me. If we want to put this into a few examples, let's think about it in terms first of food, right? You do have to eat. Does that mean that you need to eat a very wide variety of things? I mean, there could be some good health reasons for doing so. But do you need to vary the tastes so much like we often do? Probably not. That may be a natural but not necessary desire. What about the presentation or the packaging of it? Now, you know, when we think about presentation of a dish, I'm very hip to culinary stuff because, you know, I have a lot of friends who are chefs, and presentation is part of it. That leads to the pleasures of the eyes. But in many respects, the kinds of presentations that we do are not really natural or necessary, are they? And they're not the sort of thing that we should really get upset about. There's nothing wrong with, like, taking some pleasure in it, but it's not something that we should make a focus for ourselves. And do we need it served on gold plates or by a waiter dressed in a certain way? Probably not. That's pretty baseless desire. What else? Let's think about books now. Epicurus would actually say, you do need some books. Certainly you need books about natural philosophy, what we nowadays call cosmology, and about how the human body works and things like that. He thinks that's an important part of the good life. What other kinds of books might you not need? Do you need fiction books? Maybe not so much. Epicurus would probably say, right? They appeal to things that are part of our human nature. We're a mimetic creature, but they're not really necessary. And if you don't have fiction books, you probably aren't going to be really upset because of that. If you are, it's because there's something wrong. You've built up certain habits that make those desires too strong for you. And do we need our books bound in beautiful leather binding? Does that have anything to do with the value of the book itself? It doesn't. So, you know, the need to stock libraries with these beautifully bound volumes, Epicurus would say, is actually in many respects based on groundless desire. So this is how he analyzes these three kinds of desire: natural and necessary, natural but not necessary, neither natural nor necessary. We've seen a lot of examples, and so hopefully this helps you understand this distinction that he's making.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.